Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Welcome back live to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of kings himself, the man who always have a plan, the man that will one day will run for president, hopefully in 2024. I am the Hot Rod. And on the sideline, he will be the first, the second lady behind me. Well, he is a lady sometimes.
Oh,
I give you Sean Black.
I don't even have anything to follow that up with. You must have some sort of dreams of political office, and you're trying very, very hard to try to get the audience to get to your side, but it's
I
not
will
working.
Have them on my, okay. And to be honest, I'm surprised she's calling in right now, because I thought she lost her voice last night screaming for her boy Tom Brady over the television. But he's going back to the Super Bowl for the 10th time. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Lady T.
I mean, what did you expect from him?
Oh, here we go.
See, this is what happens when you poke the bear, Hot Rod.
He's
well,
a champ. What do you expect?
Well, you know what? I'm going to say something about that in a second. 347-989-8402. Okay, talk about the Super Bowl. We have the Tom Brady again for the 10th time going to the Super Bowl to face the Kansas City Chiefs that will defend the championship. First time in God knows how many years we have a team going back to back Super Bowl. But Sean Black, knowing that you and I not going to that we can't stand Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, but knowing that Tom Brady is in a different team and in the first season with the Tampa Bay is going to the Super Bowl, do you have more respect for him? And if he does win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, do you consider Tom Brady GOAT?
Well, first of all, it wasn't as if no one knew what kind of great player he was. That was never the issue. The issue is that Brady does come across in a lot of instances as very smug and very arrogant to a lot of people. But, hey, that is what it is when you got six rings and you got, you know. You can do that when you win. I like this matchup in the sense that it's not Brady versus Mahomes. It's the Buccaneers versus the Chiefs. Buccaneers have a lot of good weapons on offense and a very good defense. The Chiefs, it's every position on offense is dangerous.
Huh.
Mahomes, yeah, being who he is versus Brady and who he is, I think this is going to be one of the more high-scoring Super Bowls. It's not going to be up there in, like, the 40s or whatever. But it's going to be very hard for either defense to stop the other team. Can it happen? Yeah. But we've got 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. So
basically, it's old school versus new school, you're saying?
I don't even think it's old school versus new school. I just think it's the Tom Brady who has stepped into a team that has probably the best set of weapons on offense he's ever had in one season versus the Chiefs who have all world weapons. It's ridiculous.
Sean Black, this is the first time I'm starting to fall asleep when you speak. Do you watch football?
Yeah. I find that funny. How long have you been a Brady fan or a Patriots fan?
First the Patriots fan, and then a Steelers fan was my second team, and then the Giants was my third team when Strahan was on. But that's besides the point. Brady is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. We have to give him credit. I don't care what team he goes to. If he went to the Giants, I bet you would have been singing and dancing to a different song. You know what I mean? So it's like, just stop. Just stop. It didn't happen.
Hold on, right?
Mahomes for the Chiefs, he is, listen, he is one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks. Just because of his age, he hasn't even reached Brady's age, and he's, like, awesome. So I couldn't even imagine him at Brady's age. You understand what I'm saying? So I think it's the best of the best of the best quarterbacks going up against each other. That's how
Sean,
I feel. Two of the greatest. You don't get any Super Bowl greater than this. I'm just saying.
Okay. In 2 weeks, Sean, we will talk about this in 2 weeks. Leave it alone.
As I usually do, like usually when you ask me a prediction for a Super Bowl, I usually tell you I won't give you a prediction until like the week before or days before, because anything can happen between now and Super Bowl Sunday. An injury, something happens, whatever. And especially with all this COVID going along, we don't know what weapons may or may not show up, et cetera. So I'll wait until then to give you a prediction.
Aw, blaming on COVID, Sean Black.
not just COVID. I've been watching football for a long time. I've seen teams that have been favored to win fall apart literally the day before Super Bowl. So that's why I wait.
Okay, I don't agree with that. But you know what? Like I said, let's leave it alone, Sean. It's okay. Let's go to other craziness. Lady T, I'm sure you and I was talking Wednesday about the inauguration, how completely different this was compared to 4 years ago. What was your takeaway about the inauguration overall, and do you believe in Biden's speech?
First of all, the White House looked cleaner.
It had to be.
Over by the Capitol, it looked like they totally washed that. But listen, I was telling Hot Rod, like, I clicked on the TV, and then I see, I haven't been following the news since. And I told y'all I'm going to, you know, wait till inauguration, and I forgot it was inauguration when I clicked on the news that day. So I see him at Trump at, you know, waiting for his plane. I'm like, hold up, is he going to the inauguration or he's not? So, you know, they said, okay, he's going to be going to Florida. I'm like, Florida? Shouldn't he be exiting president? I was confused for a second because I was like, this is high class G-H-E-T-T-O, okay? And I guess he's the only president that ever did that, so he really made the mark in the history book. You know, I just looked at him as beyond petty. They went out low class to me. It's like so distasteful for everything you claim you serve for the country. Those MAGA hats that you was promoting, none of that stood up towards the end, because what a real person would do and a real G would do, even though they lost, they're still going to go to the inauguration, hand the baton over, and keep it moving, because they're going to move with class. So all that stuff that he was talking, nah. Y'all just went out so distasteful. But the Capitol looked nice and clean, and maybe it was a good thing that he didn't go, if you ask me. So it worked out because everything went smooth. It was a nice inauguration. I enjoyed I think she's 18 years old, the poet.
Yes.
I enjoyed that quite a lot. And I thought it was really, really just showing a unified country. Like, we got the Capitol nice and clean. It's all, you know, the patriotism of what, quote-unquote, the country is supposed to be standing on. And it's like, let's get back to business. And he was on his job, Biden, right then and there. So that's how you're supposed to move. You're supposed to be on your job. That's the job that we hired you for.
So it was business as normal?
It should be.
And do you see a sense of hope, or like, you know what, this is a dawn of a new era, or
Let me tell you something, what I don't like about human beings in general, that we always want to predict the outcome before it even comes out. And it's draining to me that people just want to see the finishing end. They got work to do, first of all. We don't know what it's going to look like by the end of their term. But I know what it ain't going to look like. It ain't going to look like ratchetness. You could tell. So they did to do their job.
And before I go to the shop, Black, talk about rationalists, to Lady T's point. Obama, as we know, technically speaking, married two kids, right? One wife. Donald Trump, three marriages, five kids. Now, isn't that quote-unquote rationalist back then? Well, go ahead, Sean Black.
I guess being ratchet is in the eye of the beholder, I guess, depending on who's the one that's wielding the ratchet word. Outside of that, I think what everybody looked at this inauguration, what they were hoping for was a sense of sanity. You know, they didn't want to see a lot of the stuff that they were predicting would happen, a lot of the feared violence and the feared outrage, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that I think helped is the fact that former President Trump had all of his social media toys taken away. So he couldn't tweet, he couldn't go on Instagram, he couldn't go on other of the other myriad social media outlets and voice a lot of the things that he has been spewing and saying over the last few weeks leading up to the inauguration. I think the repudiation of the inauguration for him was, if you remember, literally, I think it was like 2 or 3 hours before the inauguration started, he had his own rally in, I forgot where it was, before he got on the plane and flew off. And there was supposed to be a big rally of thousands and thousands of people. I think there were only like maybe 100 people there. It was very small compared to what he's used to seeing. So I think that probably kind of hit him as well. And then as that part dissipated and then the inauguration went on, things actually looked normal. And then there was a sense of relief that although there were no people outside to watch, the people that were part of the inauguration, they were all wearing masks. They were all sitting down and being cordial. Biden had a very good unifying-like speech, a speech that you would hear from somebody that's trying to send a message across to the country to kind of tamp down a lot of the rhetoric that's been going on. So there was a sense of normalcy in the world of corona. Now we have to see what happens afterwards, and that's where where the season finale of As the World Turns ends. Now we have the beginning of the day after tomorrow. Let's see what happens now going forward with this president in his first few days.
And moving forward, he signed, within a couple of days, 30 executive orders, and most of them reversing what Trump did when he first came into office 4 years ago. And, of course, you know, he got Republicans and other and the Trump supporters criticized Biden already. But like Sean told me a couple of days ago, the man has gone into office. Give him time, right, before you jump his gun. But it's like, people are ready to pick on every single thing a president is doing. It's like,
and here's another thing that I saw. Another thing, and bringing to that point that you just brought up. The first thing that I remember seeing, and this was literally, I would think, maybe 8 hours into Biden's first day. A friend of mine sent me a screenshot of a tweet saying that, I told you Biden didn't care about black folks. He hasn't done anything for the black folks. I was like, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Did he just not just clean off the corona from the seat at the Resolute desk? And everybody's already talking about he hasn't done anything for anyone yet. 30 or so executive orders. He's in talks now to try to get, remember when we talked about a year or so ago about how that they were trying to get Harriet Tubman's the likeness of her back on the $20 bill, but we know Steven Mnuchin decided against it, and then they said, well, there's no reason to do it now, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think she should be on it anyway. Can I just say something real quick, Sean Black?
Sure. Sure.
Do everybody not realize that he works for Congress? Congress makes the final decision and he signs off on things. Do people not know that's how it goes? So for people to say he's not doing anything for black people, he's there to serve Congress and sign off on final decisions.
But to your point, Lady T, I think, then I'll go to Brother B in a minute. I think people just looking for lookouts right away. As we always talk about the program, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that some or slash most black people is already looking for handouts. But you know what? I'm a black person who voted for Biden, who voted Democrat. Where is my share? Where is my share of the pot?
Okay, your
true?
Share. You should have learned the chain of command, and then you will understand where your share would come in. That's why we don't have reparations. Did Congress say y'all got reparations? If Congress said that, we would have had it. People are so dumb. How long has this system been going on, and you don't get it anymore of how it goes on? The same thing when Obama was there. Y'all wanted, oh, he don't do nothing for black people. He works for Congress. They make the final decision. He signs off. No different than Bush. No different than Clinton. Stop, people. Learn about laws. Learn about the chain of command.
Okay. Brother B, before I go on.
Greetings and salutations, everyone.
Greetings and salutations.
I'm trying not to turn in my black card. But
turn your black card in. Let's go.
We need it.
It's a buy one, get one free, the discount now, right?
Yeah, because you know what? I'm sick and tired. I mean, I agree with Lady T. When are you going to get it? And now I see where, like, that inside racism comes from. You know, the Negro compared to the N-I-G-G-A. Like, why do you think someone owes you something? Like, why do we have to continue to be a liability?
Because I'm entitled to it. I voted
What are you entitled to?
I scratch your back, you scratch my back.
What are you entitled to? You ain't pick no cotton. A lot of people out here ain't doing shit but having babies and running the streets drinking. Listen, it's sad when I can see somebody get up 5 o'clock in the morning and stand in front of the bodega, stand in front of the store, but you can't go get a job. But you want to ask me for something? And it's always in our neighborhoods, man. It's always in certain communities. Then you wonder why they call us lazy. Because it's like, yo, you want to go out and what? Sell drugs? You want to take the easy route. But you don't want to, you want to fake it till you make it. But you don't want to put in the real work to do the real job to make stuff happen. Listen, Biden ain't here for you. Biden here for everybody. Obama wasn't here for you. Obama was here for everybody. America, not black people. America. Mm-hmm. That's his job.
To
run the country. What's up?
Brother B, then Obama took care of the black people. The gays back then by legally allowing them to get married. Did he look out for the gay people? Why did I do more for the black people back then during his administration?
Because I'm going to be brutally honest, because gays will go out there and do more than most black people will. Bang. They will be organized. They will go do a parade. They will do what it takes to make it happen. They'll put in the work. That's why they get the recognition.
And they're still never going to be organized. That's our problem. So while you're crying about reparations, you're not even trying to build and fix your own communities. But before you even build and fix your own communities, you're not even trying to build and fix your homes. So what are you boo-hooing about?
But exactly. They get reparations. What are they going to do with it? They're going to, like, they felt
for this kid to
buy Newports and beer?
Get the latest Jordans. Come on.
Yep, exactly.
But I get to you, Kato, but one more question I'd like to ask you, Lady T. I try to fix my home. I get denied all the time. I go to the bank. I get denied. I go try to get a job. I get denied. Why happen when someone keeps telling me, I try to do all those things you're trying to tell me, but you know what? I still get kicked in the ass. What should I do? Of course I'm looking for a handout, but I try to do the right thing. And the right way is not working my way. What do you say about
make
that?
It happen.
Find another way to make it happen. What else can you do?
Well, a lot of it,
do,
I think, as well,
not,
when you look at...
I just
at,
missed the spot. Sorry, Sean, I just missed the pause because, like, no one's realizing these presidents that's put in place works for Congress. Congress signs the final decisions on laws. Some of these things that were sitting on the table for Biden to sign off was already there from the prior administration. Do we not realize these things? This is the point that I'm getting stuck on. Do you not realize who he works for? He just represents, quote unquote, the people. Do we not get how the system works?
But if I may throw this in real quick, I don't know who the guy was, but the guy did an interview. Now, this goes along to what you just asked Hot Rod of what Lady T responded with. You get denied, you find another way. So this dude, who's admittedly a boogaloo boy, got on TV with a whole bunch of people behind him and say, us, the boogaloo boys, the proud boys, and some other people, we need to unite with BLM and Antifa. Holy shit. So basically, if we can't get it the way we're going to get it our way, let's unite and join forces to go against the tyranny. Once again, if you can't get it one way, you got to go another. And this is how they flip it. I don't know if it's going to work, but the fact for him to say that, that's a lot.
All right, K-Dog, go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. It's about damn time you let me on. Jeez. What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing?
What's up, brother?
How's everybody doing? My people. How long are we going to sit there on our knees and begging? Cut it out. You know what? And I got to say this to everybody. Hot Rod, Sean, you know who I'm going to talk about. There's a friend of ours who loves going on Facebook and complaining. Yap, 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 yap. White supremacy, calling people coons and all of this. And we have another one who gets on my last nerve texting all the damn time. The same thing. Oh, what did they do for black people? Listen, let me tell you something. How about us doing something for ourselves? Why are we always the ones that ask for things? We're always asking. Obama didn't do nothing for us. He protected the gay people. Obama was the president of the United States of America, not of the black community. President Biden is in office. We have Vice President Harris. They just got into office. Try to understand how politics work in this country. Try to understand that there's three branches in the U.S. government. There's the legislative, executive, and judicial. Learn about it. How about us organizing instead of agonizing a situation? We sit there, we complain about, we talk about, I've heard some people saying some nasty things about the civil rights movement. Oh, the civil rights movement didn't do nothing. I'm like, because people had enough guts to get up there and march. To make changes. You want changes, you got to put your foot to the ground. You got to strap up your boots. Make things happen. You want that reparations, but how can we get reparations if we're not economically educated, when all we're going to do, like Lady T says, we're going to go ahead and go buy the latest Jordans. We're going to go ahead and buy the most expensive car, knowing you're living in a rundown neighborhood. Do for yourself.
But, you know, people do.
Yeah.
We always talk about this subject all the time, about the black people that do it for themselves. But you look at the Jewish community, the Indian community, the Asian community, how they look out for themselves, take care of themselves. But at the same time, as Sean always said, they make money from us. We're the one that's spending.
We are.
What about that? Why are they feeding off of us? And we're the one that's crying. We don't do enough for ourselves. Well, you have the Asian, the Jews, the Indian people.
But you know what else?
Taking
you know
money
what it
from
is?
Us.
Look at us. Do we unify as a country? Do we unify as a people? Are we unified? We're not unified. Because a
to
house divided cannot stand.
Oh, I'll wait till. Sorry, K-Dog, go ahead.
No, a house divided cannot stand.
Okay, to that question, Hot Rod, one thing about us,
yes.
We don't get educated like those races that you just described, they'll get educated on how to flip the money that was given to them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So That's one of the things. We're not trying to learn how to flip and how to invest and how to do this and that to make that money last long, to turn that $1,000 into $1 million. We're not trying
why?
To do that.
Oh, but
why
ladies,
exactly.
Why? That's what
we need. We like
the
floss. That's our problem. Oh. We like to floss too much.
Yeah, Jay-Z will tell you to take that money and go flip it in the street.
Exactly.
Exactly, yes. But, like I told Sean Black and other people yesterday, and I think I sent the picture to you, Brother B, how, you know, we will have the strip clubs open, bars open for black people, and we quickly to spend money at these places. And Sean will always say, isn't there a pandemic going on? And I just showed Sean pictures of parties people are at, or mostly black people, Spanish people. Here we are spending money at these places. Like, these places don't care about the people.
Did
they just
close the
money.
Open hot rod?
Yeah,
yeah.
They open illegally.
Yeah.
So they're gonna go see Corona booty?
Damn. Listen to this, everybody. This is what they're doing. They're having these underground parties. They call it again? Oh, secret locations and stuff. They have it all over social media. They even have promotions out on the streets talking about, oh, we're having a party at such and such a place. Oh, the police can't be invited. But yet, the cops bust these places, and guess what? You have to pay a $5,000 fine. What do you say about that?
They don't care because they made their money for it. Trust me, they made that money to cover their ass.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what it's all about.
That's doing that. Yeah, all races are doing that, so that's not even a race thing. That's just people that still want to enjoy life and don't care about the restrictions on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people are just tired of being quote unquote locked up. They're so like Lady T talked about months ago, was like, people are just so done with this virus. We're done. I wash my hands of the situation. I just want to go outside, eat hot dogs, and go to the club, go to the movies. I want to dance in the street. I want to drink. And they don't realize that that comes with consequences if you don't do what you're supposed to do to make sure you don't get sick. A lot of the other things that we also keep talking about before, and you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it until people are blue in the face, a lot of the things that have to happen have to start at the local level first.
Yeah.
Stacey Abrams ran for governor of Georgia. She didn't win, so what did she do? She got a grassroots campaign to get black voters in, to educate them about who was running, educate them about why you should vote in a certain way, and just give the information out there. That started locally, and it turned into something national. So if you have lots of places in the country that work on a local level, they can actually talk to an alderman or then speak to a local politician, and then it moves up. So then that local issue becomes a national issue, and then you start to get change from there. Certain politicians at a national level usually will adopt something that happened in a groundswell in the local area. Like this issue happened in Florida. This issue happened in Dallas, Texas, and it became something that was a popular thing to talk about. Let's bring this issue up. And then it becomes integrated into a national level. You don't hear about Republicans talking about the Tea Party because the Tea Party started locally and then got absolved into the Republican Party. So
exactly.
Now a lot of those issues that they think about are part of the party.
Yeah.
And that's what we forget. We forget about the process. We just want to see the end result.
It's like pressing fast forward. It's like, oh, they're supposed to, like, President Biden and Vice President Harris are supposed to jump up and do something immediately and, you know, pull a rabbit out of the magic hat. It doesn't go like that.
But that's what people want. That's what people expect all the time
just got
from
in
our
there.
Leaders. But why is it that it seems like when black people elect another black person into office, they always expect something in return? Does it seem like that all the time? Or that's what society is.
Yes, it
us.
Does. It does.
Seem like thinking. It's like I'm drained with it. We gotta really change our minds and start getting educated on certain stuff, because to me we're far behind than we think. So I'm really not understanding why we still are looking for a handout. Why is reparations even still coming up in your conversation, that shows you have not evolved. You don't understand anything that's going on, and I'm very drained with it at this point. I ignore people that talks about that bull crap. I just ignore them.
It's very sad.
I'm good with zoning people out, so
it's
I don't
sad.
Even know.
It's really sad this is coming.
Go ahead, K-Dog.
No, because
what
you know what
it
is.
Like that?
And I agree 100% with what everybody's saying, because it's just ridiculous. It makes no sense.
Okay. Brother B, anything you'd like to add before we move on?
Did you see the trailer for that Godzilla and Kong movie? Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I thought I was the only one who was,
like,
mesmerized
by it. Oh, my gosh. I can't stand you right now.
I can't wait till that movie comes out.
I thought that was supposed to be a metaphor for something you were alluding to.
You never know.
No, he said. Brother be saying there's more important things than that going on, like King Kong versus Godzilla. That's way more important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no matter
by
what.
By the way,
Biden
I did see the trailer. It does look good.
Yeah,
no, the trailer does look good.
And listen, no matter what they do in office. Somebody's always going to find a problem. No matter what happens, our people, sadly, are always going to find an issue with everything that's done. If Kamala Harris doesn't do what she's supposed to do for and represent her, listen, I can see black women probably turning on her if she don't do how they want her to do or she don't rep how they want her to rep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She already knows that's going to happen. I think she's here.
Yeah.
That's a good point that you made, because she's prepared for that. I'm sure she's very, very prepared. And you'll hear them saying, she's white by the end of, you know, the term and stuff. Meanwhile, I'm still confused with the Asian descent and all of that, because my parents and my family is from the island, and we're all mixed. You got Indian, Portuguese. It's like I don't classify myself as this, this, and that. I'm black at the end of the day still, so I'm still
Well, you know, everybody want to claim a piece.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm drained with that.
We call that the United Nations. That's what we call it now. You know, we have nothing but the whole world is in your head.
Exactly.
And I know Lady T is on point today, because that's the fourth time she said she's drained. So you know she's up and ready to go for today.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
right. And I didn't even know how many times I said it, because that's how drained I am.
To Lady T's point, I asked her the other day, while we were watching the event, what did she learn from Trump presidency? And she texted me, and I was on the floor. Well, we learned that Twitter was really one of the best outlets to get everything off your mind. Computer therapy. In other words,
yeah, that's what I
computer
said,
was a bomb.
We learned
that
Twitter
learned
was
from
the
Trump
best
presidency.
That's what I learned. That's what I told you. That's what I said. That's what I learned. And I wish I took more advantage of it like he did. I don't know. But that is the best thing that came out of his presidency. That's the only thing I can see that's the best thing.
And Sean Black, what was your answer?
My answer is that we learned that a lot of people don't – I learned there are a lot of hypocrites running around on the planet. And I think that is what I think is the main thing that I got the gist of. It's not racism, which is always there. It's a myriad of things that happen, but just to boil it down to one thing, I would just say hypocrisy, because this previous presidency got away with so many hypocritical issues, items, things that you would look at and say, well, if he wasn't this, or if he was female, or if he was black. And then all of the other subsequent things that follow from all of other politicians that literally were hypocrite 101, and all of the different examples that have popped up that we can throw a dart at and spin a wheel and find one literally as easy as it is for blinking an eye. We've seen so many things happen that hypocrisy knows no bounds when it has power behind it. That's one of the things that we've seen from this president, that this previous presidency. And I think that's the reason why we're seeing an impeachment trial for the second time for the same person.
And do you think it's worth? Do you think it's worth it to do this impeachment trial again for Donald Trump?
It has to be. It has to be, because if you don't impeach, first of all, the words of the president led to five people dying, including a police officer. And I said this to you, we texted each other before. And I said, remember when we heard all of the Blue Lives Matter people that are police officers that are supposedly there supporting other police? Well, what happened when that angry mob went and actually killed a police officer who was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher? I didn't hear any of that Blue Lives Matter stuff then, which is part of the hypocrisy word that I was talking about. So with all of this stuff going on, I think when we start to boil everything down to it, we have to look now at what's going on further away from this stuff, and then hopefully we can get further and further away from it and trying to get some sort of sense out of this. It's ridiculous. The impeachment part has to happen because you don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card just because you're out of office. You kill somebody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You're the president of the United States. Let's say you go ahead and kill somebody. And it's like, well, I'm not president anymore, so what the heck does that got to do with me? Well, you're the one that's responsible for what happened, the direct result of what happened. It has to be, even if he's not convicted, even though it doesn't happen, the trial has to happen, because if this isn't something that's an impeachable offense, then nothing is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And to Brother B, you sent me a video earlier this morning that I sent to everybody else on the panel about Buck breaking. It was an interesting video about the history of basically of black men mostly turning homosexual, how it was an agenda, a plan back in the centuries ago of trying to control the black population overall. What is your takeaway and why you brought that topic up to me?
I mean, it just seemed like an interesting video, and it just needs to be, I guess, reiterated over and over again. Like, I don't understand how, you know, a lot of people in our community want to be homophobic, yet you okay with getting yourself locked up, going to jail. And before, you know, and one of the things when you're being processed is you got to strip naked in front of other men, squat, and crack your ass cheeks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it behooves me how we say, oh, no homo, no this, no that. But yet we kind of, you know, we do things to straddle the fence. One of the reasons why I just sent that is because it just shows the savagery and the things that we had to go through as the people in this country that didn't even have to be here. I mean, the type of evil that it took to do that, and we still kissing the ass. For what? That's the thing that I find amazing. To watch that, to know the history of that, to see how the, you know, and I have nothing against anyone, unless you have a problem with me. But my whole thing is how, you know, why are they feminizing a lot of black men? Like, why is it okay to just, you know, this with this whole agenda? I mean, could that have been the start of it? I don't know. But look at our black women, especially look at that girl in Harlem. How many of them are protected? Because you got guys getting, you know, turning into sweet and low, and they feel that they need to be protected. And I'm just not feeling that. I'm not feeling that whole thing. Once you get rid of us, who protects the black woman? Once you feminize us, who protects the black woman? Who?
And because of that, the single black mother again, raising the two kids, and most likely not all cases, but you know, you have the mother turn, you know, teach their son who's fatherless, and most likely that son might become feminist as well, in some cases.
That's really sad with you saying that, period, because for what Brother B said with the whole criminal justice system and the process that you have to go through, that's also the process on the visiting floor and things like that that they have to go through. That's a process that they have to go through day to day, being naked and squatting and this and that. And that's also, to me, a form of slavery, the way they have them mm-hmm. in a certain command. You understand what I mean? And in addition to that,
yes.
when they go to jail, yes, you're going to have single mothers out there due to the fact of that. And like you said, it's possible. I hate the fact that people think that single mothers are raising their sons to be feminists. Meanwhile, you also have straight guys who are in their feminine energy. I mean, people need to understand how yin and yang goes. You understand what I'm saying? In order for
yeah.
a woman to be in her feminine energy, her man must be in his masculine energy so that she can feel comfortable in her feminine energy. Brother B is out
That's...
there working to bring the food home. I should be at home able to cook the food and have it prepared for when he
Take
comes
two.
In. Because I, yeah, I'm sorry, because I'm in my feminine energy. He has done his masculine work. So what the black community needs to realize is that we both have role as men and women. And one thing that I can't stand are a certain type of black men who let females in their family run the show for them. That means, dude, you're in your feminine energy. There's no way that me as a sister can tell my brother what to do, my uncle what to do, and so forth. They're supposed to lead and take on their role as a masculine man and say, no, this and this is how it's going, and the female should be able to follow. You understand what
but
I'm
like
saying?
You said, but like
yeah.
you said on the Black Lives Matter website, like they're trying to eliminate that whole cisgender hierarchy, that traditional man, woman,
yeah.
and child thing. They're trying to eliminate that. Like that's their agenda.
Are they trying to
so,
eliminate it, or are we eliminating it? And following
well,
through
some of
what
us
they're
are.
Trying to do. You get my point?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, but
we're not taking
how
responsibility
black women,
for it.
How many black women probably look scornful after what you just said? Oh, wait, I got to cook for him when he come home. Why he can't cook for me? Why can't this?
Yep.
I'm supposed to be his
Why
plate.
Not? He's been out
see,
there
that
making bread.
Because
yeah, that whole attitude.
That's the whole attitude right there. Like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Like we no,
well,
we sisters, no,
why
we stand up,
we
rise.
Don't take accountability
we
as black people. Accountability. That's what it sounded like on Brother B with what you just said. We lack accountability, and that's our downfall.
Well, why is that? Why I cannot scratch your back, you scratch my back. I bring home the bread, you cook, you toast
mm-hmm.
the bread, you know, or vice
mm-hmm.
versa. Why can I be that way? You know, we see other families do it. You know, no
because
family's
somebody
perfect.
Told them,
they,
because someone told them the family structure is no longer a cool thing. That's what somebody said, family structure.
I'm so thankful
not,
I was growing up in the West
not.
Indian culture. Sorry. That's
mm-hmm.
how it was. Like,
okay.
Like one of my friends was talking to me the other day about, like, you know, like serving food and stuff like that. And I'm like, I always do that. If I cook, I serve the person that I cook for. You get what I'm saying? I thought, like, is that not the norm?
Oh, girl, you crazy. You crazy. Girl. I ain't serving him.
Wow.
Get his own damn plate.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how it go? Nah, I didn't know that.
Sean Black, I'm sure you have something to say.
Yeah, I think that if you see what we've seen over the last, I guess we could say maybe 20, 25 years, where we've seen more of a promotion of African-Americans in media being shown more effeminate. And I think that to some degree is done on purpose, some degree it's happenstance, and also the changing of certain parts of the culture. And I'm looking at right now how the African-American community is going towards more of a younger tone as far as picking up a lot of this the younger tones from the culture and appropriating it towards whatever it is, whether it's rap music, whether it's fashion,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. I think we also know for a long, long time, we also know that in this world, especially in the United States, we also know that for a lot of quote unquote strong, powerful white guys, the scariest thing for them was an educated black man.
Exactly.
As there used to be a clothing store
yeah.
in the New York area where their ad was, an educated customer is our greatest consumer. Those are the kinds of things that scare other people off. So based on that whole buck-breaking mindset, and breaking down an African American, taking away masculinity, taking away choice, taking away the actual, the underlying part of what makes them human, and kind of denying them their right to, one, exist, just to exist, two, being able to exist and thrive, and then exist and thrive and be left in peace without having their fundamental aura and who they are transformed and flipped upside down and then disseminated around everywhere else. Because as we've seen, lots of the African-American culture and community has been misappropriated by a lot of white culture. We've seen a lot of hip-hop. A lot of white people love hip-hop. A lot of white people like the clothing, like the haircuts. They like the style. That the only thing that they didn't seem to like is the skin color lifestyle of what you have to live with after all of that's been stripped away. So this is where a lot of this comes in full circle, and that's where a lot of the education part and getting people to know what to do going forward comes into play with being taught by parents, mom, dad, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, K-Dog.
You know what? It's all about when it comes to that, especially with the way that the media, like they said, you know, the feminization of black men. The problem is this, is that unfortunately some people think that you choose a certain lifestyle, and that's not necessarily true. It's either you're born gay or you're born straight. Like, I'm tired of it, you know, hearing the same thing. Oh, people choose it. People don't choose to be gay. People are born that way. There's nothing you can do about it. And, of course, with the black family, we've seen that a lot of people, the black family has been shunned for so long, especially when it comes to the black man, the black woman, and, you know, all that they always, that there's a lot of black single mothers, which is not necessarily true, because there are some black mothers out there who are single, who do raise their children on their own. And sometimes the black man, unfortunately, you know, things don't work out, but they choose to abandon the family, and that's the bad part about it. You can't abandon your family. You can't run away from your responsibility as a man. You understand? Even if things don't work out between you and the mother of that child, you still got to stick around. You still got to be a father to that child. That child needs you in their life just as much as they need the mother.
But
you understand?
Real quick,
The
only reason why I'm cutting across, sorry about that, K-Dog, is because you also got to look at the other side of it, too. Because you're talking to a person that spent 8 years in family court and other people telling me that I couldn't be a father. A person lying to the court telling me that I'm a deadbeat. Meanwhile, I'm giving you money.
And that's a bad thing.
And I'm picking up my kids. So it's both. We both have to accept accountability.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we get the system to referee things, and the system is not on anybody's side but its own.
Right, and you're right about that, because you know what? It's two things. And of course, you know, I mean, listen, you got to let go of things that, and plus, don't be haunted by your past. Let go of it, you know, and that way you could have a loving relationship. And of course, you know, you shouldn't have to, you know, whatever happens between the two of you, you got to think about that child. Think about the child first.
Well, it's very hard sometimes to Brother B's point, whether the mother or the father try to think of the child, when you have a conflict between each other, you have parents who hate each other, you know what? The child is
always
going
to be. I can speak to that, Hot Rod.
That's what I was just about to say
what Brother B said, because even in my situation in the beginning, the person was in their feelings. Now we're finally co-parenting and they're out of their feelings. They even admitted that they was in their feelings, and now they see it's for their child, so now they're there for their child. So things also, what we're failing to understand that we talked about at the top of the show, things take time, and it's a process also. So some people will get it in their head, you know what, this is more than just arguing with this person or being mad at this person because we're not together, and get over it already. So things take time, and as far as K-Dog said with people having to get over stuff, there's some people that won't get over stuff. You're always going to find somebody that has some sort of lingering trauma to something that was attached to something, whether it's their childhood or a relationship. And nine times out of ten, it's really from childhood. They need to fix themselves and do work on themselves. So I never call, hey, it's trial and error, but you're always going to have some lingering hurt in life. Life is painful. I'm sorry to say it. It's painful. There's things that's going to be there. So think you're going to meet somebody and they're not going to be having problems. I know females that are a little bit ticky, ticky, boom, boom, and the dude will be okay to take to still be down with her because he's so into her. So it's bull crap.
Okay, and my last question, Guaca Lady, I'm trying to pick something fun, a little bit fun. Okay, ladies love to get a hair done, long hair, short hair, whatever. I'm not saying you need a permission. Well, if you with someone, a partner, and let's say you really have long hair, and you know your partner loves long hair, and you decide to cut it, should a woman ask their partner or get consent or talk over with their partner before they get a haircut? Or what they
think? I'm just laughing. I was in these situations many times because there's many times when I go from short to long. And guess what? At the end of the day, Negro, I ain't asking you anything because you still going to tear it up, whether it's long or short. And I'm not talking about them. So let's just stop. No, but I had those things. Oh, you look cute with short hair, but I love it when it's long. And they really do like it when it's short or long, but to me, it's always been my preference. Sometimes I feel like short. Sometimes I feel like just growing my hair out. So it all depends.
Yeah, but should you talk it over with your partner? I'm like, listen, honey, I like to cut my hair. And what happens if he says
no? I've done that many times. If he says no, and then I go to the salon and I still get it cut and I come back. And then he's like, oh, that looks cute on you. Like, I've done that many times before. That has happened so many times in my life. I'm just cracking up right now. Like, yes. And they still love it. Like, they don't care.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the other person's hair. I mean, I don't have dominion over someone. Better keep your hair long.
No, that doesn't work. I gotta say is this: it's her hair. Let her do what she wants with it.
I got threatened. I got threatened about the beard. Even my daughter came at me. Don't shave that. I said, if I do shave, I'm gonna be mad. I'm gonna don't shave. I like the beard. So okay.
Women always like the beard.
You know that? I'm just like thinking because I remember saying that to my ex. Like, when he shaved his beard completely, I was like, oh, like, why did he do that? Like, I was a little pissed, but it's like, okay, he grew it back. So
see?
I hear what Brother B is saying.
You see, it go both ways. This is what I'm talking about.
It does.
You consult with someone first before you do it, even though you plan to do it anyway. But isn't it to please each other from time to time? Like, you know what? If my wife liked the beard, let me keep it on for a little bit longer.
In general,
that's the whole part of the relationship. It's communication.
If you're
communicating, maybe somebody is like, well, you like the beard a certain way. Oh, I want to get a Fu Manchu and just shape it up that way. How do you think it'll look? Now, usually you're going to bounce an idea off the person you're with, and obviously it's going to be up to that other person. But if you care about the other person, yeah, you'll bring it up. But ultimately, the decision is the person who has the head of hair. You know, if they want the hair long, they'll keep it long.
Right.
John Black, what you said is if you care about the other person, guess what? If you care about the other person, please just let them do what they want to do with their hair, with their beard, because it makes them happy and it'll keep you
happy.
In the relationship.
But
you want to make the suggestion to see how they feel about it. Because they're asking you, but it's like, I'm not going to say, don't you dare cut that beard, because I know they're going to grow back.
No.
While it's shaved off, they're going to be like, damn, man, she ain't looking at me the same. I might as well just grow this beard back.
Oh, my gosh. But isn't it part to keep each other happy, keep the romance up and everything, you know?
That's it, man. As long as y'all making each other happy. That's what food is for.
I'm sorry.
Keep each other happy. That's what food is for. Keep each other happy.
I'm somewhere else along the other line, but all right, the other food.
No,
yeah.
No, brother. Talking about food.
I was keeping it clean, okay?
Okay.
I was absolutely keeping it clean.
Oh boy, here we go.
My goodness.
You know what? I lost my thought. I'm sorry. Does anybody else have anything else to say? I lost my thought. I really did.
I'm going to check out Jack. I'm going to check out Jackson Hole real soon, just for you, Ira. We'll check
out Jackson.
Thank you. For people that don't know, Jackson Hole is a pop-up burger joint. I really have nothing else to say. I have my questions. You guys really messed me up. You got me. Lady T. Okay, we got 4 minutes left. Lady T, we have the first Black Bachelor, the show. I don't watch the show. My wife watches it, so unfortunately, I see a little bit of it. What do you think about having the first Black Bachelor? Do you think it's a good thing, about time, or you don't care?
I could have sworn y'all asked me the same thing on the last show.
I did.
Feel like I should have been on The Bachelor. Yes, I did. I even told you I auditioned for it, and they turned me down because they was like, big booty, no, no, no. Like, you need to be a size 2 Black woman. You forgot?
I thought he was gay.
I apologize.
Seriously, I don't care because...
You see, Tisha has deprived the rest of the nation of what they could have looked forward to by not being on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
That's what he needed some real... Listen, I'm not even going to say it because it's on the show, but anyway, he needed some real women, put it like that, on the show, and then it would have been excited had they done it like that. But then that would have probably been a stereotype, boo, boo, boo. I don't care about him. We know that this is fake by now. I hope we know that. So to see a Black guy finally on there, I'm not impressed by him. He's going to probably have so much draws by the end of the show. Who knows how it's going to go down, how it goes down. And I don't know. I'm drained with The Bachelor because it's like, I got to compete for this guy. Well, I got to compete for him with all these chicks. And then the chicks always get ratchet with each other. It's like, I don't know. It just amazes me with that. I'm drained with that. That's like, I don't know. I don't do online dating, but I could imagine what online dating is. You're competing with everybody else for this guy.
Oh,
listen,
we got
I'm drained. In real time, you already got to... You know, compete and hope guys don't have rosters and stuff, whatever they do. It's like, I'm drained with it.
Well, you know what, Lady T, to your point, hopefully when this COVID thing is over, guys, I guarantee you the dating scene and the screwing and the sex will be off the chain because there's going to be a lot of lonely people out there going out there and the screwing people left and right. It's like back to 1960s.
People are doing that now. I think people are doing that.
It doesn't stop none of it.
That's one thing that ain't gonna never stop.
That ain't never gonna stop.
Y'all the guys, doesn't it seem like they added new dating apps since COVID, if you ask me? It's much more of it going on.
Yeah, going up on a lot of these joints.
I don't know. Sean would know more than me because, you know, he's on those
right.
type of websites all the
Speak
time.
Speak for yourself.
Listen, I'm a happily married man right now, okay, with two lovely kids, right? I don't do these dating sites. I don't know anything about it.
I
guess
I know,
you
know, I
know,
like dating sites.
So
I'm
waiting for
you don't know who you meet
right
out there because I've been reading too many stories about them. You don't know what kind of psychopaths you're meeting out there.
Because it's not the same anymore. I used to be on Black People Meet. I was on there years ago.
Oh, my God.
It was good. Black People Meet was dope years ago.
It was good.
And now?
Probably
nah,
years ago
now.
Before Instagram. Instagram is, like, probably also now the new dating site. But even that, it's like, I don't feel like meeting anybody. I like meeting people, you know, in person.
But you're talking from the old school generation, you know. You're wiser. These kids today, they don't care about that. They'd rather meet people online because...
Yeah,
that's
they've
like
had to do that social,
to do.
That whole social media crap.
It's like Grubhub. They'd rather do Grubhub than walk across the street and go to McDonald's to get their food. But they'd rather pay $10 extra for their $2 burger. That's what they do now. It doesn't make sense, but it's all about the internet now. So, on that note, guys, Brother Meek, your show's on tomorrow night.
Yeah.
8:30.
Oh, yeah, the American hypocrisy.
Oh, man, that'd be interesting. On that note,
you can do a month of shows of that and still never get to the root of the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is true, but you know what? I just want to get off my chest, and after that, it's going next Tuesday going to be part two of the the relationship conversations. I got to get back into that. That's more fun.
Yeah.
Right,
if y'all didn't hear part one, y'all need to go check Brother B's show out, the menu from last week, before you get to part two.
Oh, yes. I heard.
Part two,
my part was
even hotter.
And I want to give a shout out to Mass Free Media. Mass Free Media, thank you for listening to the show and having a chat with me. Guys, thank you so much for a show tonight. I'm sorry for my last 5 minutes loss of thought because Lady T killed me tonight. But, guys, thank you so much. Have a good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all. Be safe.
Later.
And the pleasure was all yours.
All right.
Indeed.